Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known from you, there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Grant, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts, for as you always resist the proud and confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided into portions to the number of people who are to eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb the same night. They shall eat it as roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until morning, you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in these words: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we become believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put up the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in revealing and the drunkenness, not in debauchery and the licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Jesus.
Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out that fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Second Sunday in a row. The vestry may be considering an order of protection. Anyway, it's wonderful to be here. This past few days, in considering the text, and also in considering a few things that have happened in my life, have me, and when I say in my life, certainly attending the beautiful and very resonant funeral and burial of Robert's mother, and to hear the brothers, three of them, Robert and his two brothers, talk about the loving witness of their mother and how that had impacted them, and at the gravesite, hearing one of the brothers basically exhort us to act in love. And there was a sense that maybe he was coming to grips with some of the things that his mother had put inside of him. It's very beautiful. And then afterwards, I met with a county commissioner. Her name is Daisha Lundy, only African-American on county commission. And she was talking to me about some of her struggles, and also brought up love. She's a Christian, and she just brought up actually more of a question: what does love look like in the context of, you know, all of this political infighting? You know, I was a city councilman for 8 years, so I've had a taste of politics, and you know, it's frankly like the adult version of middle school. I mean, it's challenging, and we shouldn't ignore it, but how do we move into it? So a lot of things have been happening, and then these passages of scriptures, you know, Exodus, and, you know, the Passover, Paul in Romans, you know, and this you know, this passage related to how to treat conflict. You know, I grew up in the Episcopal Church, so I have this learned disassociation going on in my head to sort of hear really important. It's like watching an episode of Star Trek. It was entertaining. I don't know how to apply it to my life. you know, and maybe that's why we dig into commentaries and we just try to make it more interesting. I think originally I was very moved, not originally, but at some point after college, I was moved by Christianity as it was demonstrated by some people that I had read about and known. I knew that Christianity had to be more than just force with no vector, that it had a strategy. It could accomplish some things. I have a bunch of paper up here because I have some notes I don't want to forget, but I may or may not use them. This coming Friday, meaning September 15th, will be the 60th anniversary of the Birmingham bombing in 1963. And that's where in Birmingham at 16th Street, the bomb was killed the four little girls. Actually, one was 11, the other were 14. Addie Mae Collins, Carol Denise McNair, Cynthia Wesley, Carol Rosamond Robertson. And these were beautiful children. Addie was an outgoing, artistic girl who went through the neighborhoods and sold potholders and aprons that her mother had made. Denise enjoyed being in plays and poetry readings and raising money for muscular dystrophy. She actually befriended Condoleezza Rice, a fellow elementary school student who later became a U.S. Secretary of State. Carol Robertson, she was a good student who loved reading and dancing, very involved, played the clarinet, and was very involved in the Jack and Jill of America, a civic-minded youth and family organization. Cynthia was raised by a single mother, stayed with her adoptive parents so she could attend better school where she excelled in math, reading, and band. And all four of these lives were taken. It's also Sarah Collins Rudolph was severely injured in that bombing. She lost sight in her right eye. And then two boys were murdered that same day, 16-year-old Johnny Robinson and 13-year-old Virgil Ware. And, you know, a lot of the people in the Passover passage, they had children and with names and interests. And I don't know why it is that we tend to take notice of important events in our life when our children are threatened. In the context of the Passover, God was confronting Pharaoh and he gave the leaders a heads up on what they should do to protect their families. This engagement of change does have casualties. And in 63, there were these four little girls. In a couple weeks, I get to meet Carolyn McKinstry, who was actually one of the girls who did not remain in that room. And actually, she was left shortly before the bomb went off. This was September 15th, 1963. It was Youth Sunday. Every year they allowed the pastor, John Cross, who was preparing a sermon called The Stone That Doesn't Roll. And the theme was how to protect oneself against physical threat, you know. And so I get to meet this wonderful woman of God, and she wrote a book that I read, and I have a friend who is going to introduce us. Now, what's interesting, 63 was a big year in Birmingham. Months before that, there was the Children's Crusade, where all the children, you know, left school and walked downtown to speak to the mayor. And that's where you see some of the pictures of the water hoses that Bull Connor unleashed on the young people. And then there was another confrontation where Martin King led a march that also resulted in him being put in jail. And that's where the letter from the Birmingham jail came from. So that right there, in a way, was kind of like an American Passover. It was the first time that somehow everybody in the country could see pictures of what was going on. They used to refer to Birmingham as Bombingham. They also used to refer to Birmingham as the city of churches, because there were more churches there than almost any place. It was the stage for a shift, just as this Passover passage was the stage for a shift. So, what's interesting to me is that if you really look into the organizers of this civil rights movement. What you're going to find is that is almost at every level, it's organized from a Christian perspective in a way. That same year, 63, I think a month before the bombing, Martin King released his collection of sermons entitled The Strength to Love. He was initially hesitant to publish it because he always felt like sermons were created for the ear, not the eye. And yet, it's an amazing document. Some of the titles are Love in Action, A Tough Mind and a Tender Heart, Loving Your Enemies. And also, whenever you hear him talk about nonviolence resistance, it's very, very logical to replace it with the word love. Each sermon inspires his reader to examine with a tough mind the ways in which our individual and collective actions can help to root out evils of our day. In his first piece, A Tough Mind and a Tender Heart, Dr. King describes his idea of tough-mindedness versus soft-mindedness. He points to soft-mindedness, the state of accepting conclusions without examining the facts, as a predisposing factor to racism, as it makes people susceptible to false information. And we don't look into the facts around a number of issues, not just racism. There's another beautiful sermon inside of this collection called The Transformed Nonconformist. He describes the attributes and characteristics of effective leadership. Rather than become rigid and impatient, he encourages us to fight vigorously in a humble and loving spirit. So what's beautiful about reclaiming some of the history of and noticing the history of the civil rights and paying attention to this anniversary is that when it comes to Christ, love is a force that does have a vector. It does have an aim. And it's not just kind of this random, you know, sort of obtuse, general kind of be a nice person, which includes that. But there is a strategy. When I think of Moses and Aaron, he was preparing the people just the way King would prepare for a march. The strategy of confronting someone who has done you harm is exactly what the civil rights workers did. In other words, they would confront the leaders, not confront, but they would meet with the leaders and basically collection of facts to determine whether injustices are alive. They would negotiate self-purification and then direct action. I mean, these are strategies straight out of Scripture. So the three passages of Scripture, rather than just being some random, you know, lectionary input from some Episcopal priest somewhere, they seem to harmonize in a kind of chord. That there is a way in which our love as Christians can be organized, and God is fighting our fight. And in an interesting way, the first passage and the third passage kind of harmonize in the sense that as we are acting courageously in love, God is with us, and things can happen. But the centrality of love is important and necessary and something that we have to practice. If you were to enlist in one of MLK's marches, you would have had to sign a commitment card that basically agreed to this: I hereby pledge myself, my person and body, to the nonviolent movement. Therefore, I will keep the following 10 commandments. And again, I would say the love movement. 1, meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. 2, remember always that the nonviolent movement in Birmingham seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. 3, walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love. 4, pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. 5, sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. Observe with both friend and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. 7, seek to perform regular service for others and for the world. 8, refrain from the violence of fist, tongue, or heart. 9, strive to be in good spiritual and bodily health. 10, follow the directions of the movement. And people would sign up, and then they would practice what it would be like to be out on the street confronted with the challenges of what that kind of nonviolent resistance would evoke. I mean, it was hard for me not to notice these things in the passages of Scripture. Aaron and Moses were preparing people for a demonstration of God's power and God's judgment, the 10th, you know, plague, and that God gave them the resources and the information to help protect their children. That love is central. That's in the second passage. And that there is an immediacy to it. We don't have all day. We don't have all our lives. And then third, there has to be some kind of a reckoning. And that we have to not just change our attitude, but take our attitude to the front line and contest things. You know, I admit that the battle these days feels a little diffuse. What are we struggling against? It's not as clear as during the reign of Pharaoh or Bull Connor. But I think the work of love remains our Christian duty, our practice, our means of building a better world. There is power in the movement of Christ. And I say that with a sense that I have at moments thought I wasn't quite sure that it does. I mean, but I've seen it, and we've seen it in this country. By flawed people, but at the same time, Christianity is a force, and it does have an intent. And if we are to build and live in the kingdom of God, there is still a great resonance and relevance to the strategies of Christ. I'm going to end with a poem by Elizabeth Alexander, and it's entitled, it was actually delivered on the inauguration of President Obama. Elizabeth Alexander is a poet, praise song for the day, and again, at the gravesite, Robert's brother was all three of the brothers were basically asking us to love. Daisha Lundy was saying that love is at the center of her work on county commission. Love is not faint. It has a muscle to it, a muscularity to it. It has an aim, and I'm saying this to you and I'm saying this to myself. Praise song for the day. Each day we go about our business, walking past each other, catching each other's eyes or not, about to speak or speaking. All about us is noise. All about us is noise and bramble, thorn and din. Each one of our ancestors on our tongues. Someone is stitching up a hem, darning a hole in a uniform, patching a tire, repairing the things in need of repair. Someone is trying to make music somewhere with a pair of wooden spoons or an oil drum, with cello, boombox, harmonica, voice. A woman and her son wait for the bus. A farmer considers the changing sky. A teacher says, take out your pencils, begin. We encounter each other in words, words spiny or smooth, whispered or declaimed, words to consider, reconsider. We cross dirt roads and highways that mark the will of some one and then others who said, I need to see what's on the other side. I know there's something better down the road. We need to find a place where we are safe. We walk into that which we cannot yet see. Say it plain that many have died for this day. Sing the names of the dead who brought us here, who laid the train tracks, raised the bridges, picked the cotton and the lettuce, built brick by brick the glittering edifices they would then keep clean and work inside of. Praise song for struggle, praise song for the day, praise song for every hand-lettered sign, the figuring it out at kitchen tables. Some live by love, thy neighbor as thyself. Others by first do no harm, or take no more than you need. What if the mightiest word is love? Love beyond marital, filial, national love that casts a widening pool of light. Love with no need to preempt grievance. In today's sharp sparkle, this winter air, it was delivered in the winter, anything can be made, any sentence begun. On the brink, on the brim, on the cusp, praise song for walking forward in that light. As William Blake once said, he said, we are put on earth a little space that we may learn to bear the beams of love. Ava Catherine Hartman's struggled against mental illness and yet was able to bear the beams of love to the extent that she passed on the admonition to love. And it just shook the cages of three brothers. Martin King did the same. Those little girls did the same. And I know people in this congregation who have done the same. Amen.
Now let us stand as we affirm our faith in song. Now let us pray for the church and for the world.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Brian, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble.
We pray for the climbing homeless population in Chattanooga, for folks who find their bed outside in this heat. We pray in thanksgiving and for the blessing of those who work to alleviate the suffering of those who are homeless.
I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for the Hartman's family, the Divine family, Belinda and Cindy, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Juliana, Kelly, Debbie, Randy, Peggy, Mark, and Judy. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been given honor, Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you." Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, for with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever.
Amen.
On this day, Timur, we also pray and remember with broken hearts, those who lost their lives 22 years ago in the 9/11 attacks. We pray for the families who continue to feel that loss and that burden. And we pray that your peace and the love that Chris preached about finds a way through your love to make its way into this broken world. Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good job. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church in these waning days of summer as the crisp fall air starts to make its way. It seems like a promise. It's like the breeze of God's grace. You can feel it in the morning that Satan's porch is almost over, and we can head into the fall and sip on our pumpkin lattes and all the other things that we do. The only one not happy about this is Gretchen, who no longer can work at the pool. So there are some things coming on in the fall that I want to make you aware of. In October, we're going to host an event to remember all the wonderful things about St. Thaddeus, to celebrate the ministries that we perform here, the relationships that have been forged here. And in the context of that, we are going to baptize Penelope, who is the great-grandchild of Judy Short. And that was supposed to happen next Sunday. It's not going to happen next Sunday. They can't travel this way, this far. They'll be able to make that trip in October. So I said, whenever they can do it, we'll do it. And so next Sunday, I'm going to be here with you. We are not going to do a baptism, but we will do a celebration of baptism in October. And as you know, the feast day of St. Thaddeus is in October. So we'll bring all these events together, and it will be a joyous occasion. We're still pinning down which Sunday that is based on when they're able to travel. So as soon as we have that information, I will let you know. We have an ongoing Bible study on Wednesday mornings. It's at All Good Cafe, which is on Glass Street. And I've been doing it at 8:30 in the morning. It's been a Bible study with just Robert the last two Sundays. Robert and the owner of the coffee shop. And it turns out that I lost my mother, and the owner of the coffee shop lost her grandmother all this month. And so the two of us have had our own little Bible study together without the Bible studying part. So it's actually been this lovely thing. But that's on Wednesday mornings, except for this coming Wednesday morning, I won't be there. Now, if you show up and you get together, I will send out the questions about the Bible readings. But this week, I'm taking some time with my brothers and my father in Knoxville midweek to connect with them to make sure my father is in a good place. What I do want to say is one of the graces in losing my mother was in that whole episode was I was the one who cleaned out the space that she lived in an assisted living facility. And as I was cleaning those out, I came across this trove of cards that had been sent from St. Thaddeus and St. Albans, people from within the church, that she had kept in one place. And they had all been opened, and the ink had run on several of the cards. So I could tell that those cards were important to her. And I just felt your love and St. Albans' love through that. Andy's gift of music yesterday, and the folks, Tom came. Folks showed up from both churches who were present at the funeral yesterday. My family just felt really surrounded and blessed. And so I just want to say thank you for that. Lloyd, do we need to say anything about where's Lloyd? About the food pantry.
We could use more volunteers.
There's a sign-up sheet out there.
I wanted to buy myself once I got back in today.
Come and volunteer. All your dreams come true when you volunteer.
Do what?
When you come and volunteer, all your dreams come true.
That's
you're
right.
Back there. And,
that's right.
So come on.
I think Gavin will be back next week, but...
Okay. Yeah. And is there anything specific that we're collecting right now for folks who are in need? Toilet paper is always a thing, is that right?
Toilet paper we don't have any of. I accidentally fell into dog and cat food.
Yeah. So sodas.
General vegetables.
And vegetables.
Would be a good thing.
Okay. So if you bring these things to the church, we will use them. We will give those things out on Saturdays. And the volume is up. The needs are greater these days. So,
yes, they are.
So I think they're low on tuna fish.
Low on tuna fish. So that would be very welcome. Any other announcements before I ask for birthdays and anniversaries? any birthdays or anniversaries that we're celebrating. Okay. Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift it to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for the wonderful grace and virtue declared on all your saints who have been the chosen vessels of your grace and the lights of the world in their generations. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, and the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Take care of those who are faint-hearted. Support those who are in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.